Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We've been talking about modern Christians, and we got on the subject of, did Jesus pay the tax? And of course, Jesus didn't pay the tax, because Jesus didn't owe the tax. And you don't have to pay a tax that you don't owe. But then Peter spoke up and said, yes, my master pays the tax. I mean, even the question that came out of the mouth of the guy, does your master pay the tax, gives you the idea that some people didn't pay the tax. And Peter was so ignorant of the kingdom at that time, he said it wrong. And Jesus did not owe the tax. He didn't pay the tax. His kingdom wasn't of the world. He didn't owe them the tax. He was actually the king. He didn't owe a tax. And he had no treaties or contracts with Rome. And we talk about that in other places, as exactly what was the status of Rome in Judea at that time. It had not yet conquered Judea. It didn't conquer Judea for years yet. It was invited into Judea, but it wasn't invited in by the rightful king. It was invited in by someone that even Rome said was not the rightful king. So who was the rightful king of Judea? Well, they said Herod could be for a while, and it was based on the fact that Herod had a lot of support. But there was no king in Judea, in Jerusalem, at that time at all, and hadn't been since before Herod died. Herod Antipas was the king over in another part, over in Galilee. But the kingdom had already been divided up into three parts. Philip had one, and Herod Antipas had another, but nobody sat on the throne in Jerusalem until Jesus. That's right, Jesus sat on the throne. But Jesus didn't come to rule over you. He came to restore you to the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God. He didn't want to rule over you like Moses didn't want to rule over you. He didn't want to exercise authority over you. He didn't want to hit you with his staff. He wanted you to learn how to be free souls under God. You can't do that unless you live by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. If you want to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, you go have at it. But you're going out of the presence of God, and you're going the way of Cain, you're going the way of Nimrod, and you're going the way of Pharaoh, and you're going the way of Caesar, but you're not going the way of Christ. And so therefore you are not a Christian. You might be a modern Christian, because modern Christians who are not real Christians, they do that all the time. And they think that's okay. But now, if you owe the tax, if you've made an agreement with unbelievers, people who don't believe in faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, actually believe you can't have a society unless you force people to contribute, those are unbelievers. If you've gone and made an agreement with them, you got to keep that agreement, just like Peter had to pay the tax because he opened his big mouth and said yes. He didn't pay the tax for 12 apostles. He paid a tax for himself and for Jesus. And Jesus provided a way in which he could do that without taking money out of his pocket and not using that money. And besides that, you have to understand how the tax is paid. The tax is paid by Augustus Caesar's money, and his picture's on it. It's because it was his money. He loaned it into circulation on the pretext that you had to pay it back with the same money of like kind, you see. The Federal Reserve notes are loaned into circulation by the Federal Reserve. They're not put out by the government. They're put out by the Federal Reserve, and they're loaned. Now, they have a debt, a surety attached to them, and that's by the seal of the United States. At least now the new notes are different than the old notes. Quite a bit different. Whole procedure has changed, the laws and rules, because the United States is bankrupt, been bankrupt for a long time. All the countries are bankrupt. They all went through these government deals where they were working out how they were going to settle the fact that the whole world is bankrupt. And the present currency is totally fiat. It has no value. Even the Federal Reserve admits on their website that Federal Reserve notes have no value. They are fiat. Now, the old notes still were redeemable by some countries, but all the countries have gone bankrupt. Even the Arabs went bankrupt because you couldn't believe they had all this money coming in from oil revenues and they still overspent. They were suckered into it. And so they're all caught in this kettle of fish. Even Switzerland is screwed up now. But anyway, the point is the whole world, new world order's here already, and they've all been bought and sold, and the traveling merchants of the earth own it all. But they're going to fight amongst each other, and they're going to burn the whole place down. And we see the sparks of that kindling before us in the recent economic problems that are, you know, spread all over the world. And even China is supposed to have all these debt notes of the United States. They're having the same problems because nobody, as a nation, is doing what Jesus said. Nobody, as a nation, including Israel over there, is doing what Moses said. Jesus and Moses were in agreement. What they're all doing is coveting their neighbor's goods through the agency of men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. In other words, governments like FDR and all these other socialists, you know, Hitler. Both FDR and Hitler were members of the Democratic Socialist parties, right? I mean, they're both Democratic Socialists. They both believe that you should be able to take from your neighbor to force their contributions so that you can have benefits for the people, you know, like health care and public schools. I mean, that's socialism, right? And it's all taking from your neighbor to provide you with what you want, right? That's socialism. That's not Christianity. And, you know, and it's amazing. You just go back 200 years, almost all the social welfare in America was done through faith, hope, and charity. And most of that was done through the churches. Isn't that amazing? And people weren't starving. As a matter of fact, when they decided to do that rather than do it through the government, starvation stopped. That's right. You go back to the colonies, Jamestown. You know, we've talked about this, Jamestown and the Pilgrims. They all did this idea where they were going to force the contributions. Everybody had to put their food produce into a common house, into a common fund. Everybody had to do that. And then from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. That was their policy. That's socialism. It was all going to be controlled by the government, and they starved every year. Half the Pilgrims died the first year. Several years later, they finally, the Pilgrims and Jamestown, without cell phones, decided on the same time, we're not going to do it that anymore. Private property. Capitalism. You produce it, it's yours. Everything you produce, everything you grow, it's yours. You got to take care of yourself. No guarantees. No socialism. We're not going to do that anymore. It's not working. It took half the people to die before they realized that. Year after year, half the people died. Fortunately, there were lots more coming. And fortunately, they finally figured it out. Socialism brings starvation and destruction. Unfortunately, America doesn't know that anymore. Australia doesn't know that anymore. New Zealand doesn't know that anymore. And so it's coming again. That's all there is to it. I can't do anything about it. History repeats itself. But you got a choice. Yeah, you got a choice. You can decide what part of history you want to play the part of. You want to be the Christians who actually thrived during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, or you want to be the Roman Empire. You know, we were just having a discussion the other day about all this overwhelming interest in zombies and vampires and werewolves, and you know, even before it was going to be Halloween, I mean, everywhere we have this infatuation with these zombie movies. And what is that? It's because most of the world are zombies. The zombie apocalypse is here already. They're mindless people going around devouring one another. That's right. They don't want to eat other zombies as much as they want to eat people who are not zombies. And of course, that's what was happening with the Christians. You see, all the Romans had become zombies, and they started devouring the Christians, eating them up, destroying them. Now, the modern infatuation with zombie movies is you want to be able to shoot all these guys when they come to eat you. And that would be good if you had a Holy Spirit gun with you. You were going to shoot them with the Holy Spirit when they come at you. But you know you're surrounded by zombies. You don't want to become one. And you want to be able to fight them off. You know, see, zombies are socialists. Socialists want to devour you. They want to They want to take a bite out of you. I mean, the Bible even talks about that, devouring one another, taking a bite out of one another, taking a bite out of your neighbor. They talk about that. That's socialism is zombieism. And if you don't want to be a zombie, you have to start living by love. That's it. Forget about saying you believe in Jesus. Start doing it. So yeah, you can't pick and choose the scripture you want to follow. Why are you in the bondage of Egypt? What was the bondage of Egypt? 20% of everything you earned had to go to the government. Half, 1/5 of the year you had to work for the government. My dad, I asked him, I says, who did he work for? I asked who he worked for. I cover this in the book Covenants of the Gods. That's me as a little boy, 7 years old, asking my dad who he works for. Because he was asking me questions like, what do you want to be when you grow up? So I asked him, well, who do you work for? And he says, well, and he didn't realize what he was saying to me at the time. You know, this had an effect on me because I remembered it. He says, well, until July 1st, I'm working for the government. After that, I'm working for myself, because he was in a 50% income tax bracket. And my dad was a lawyer, so he knew the law. He understood how it worked. It wasn't anything he thought he could do about it. Well, he did do something about it. He raised me up. And I'm here preaching to you the straight way. You're working for the Pharaoh. You're for 20, 30, 40, 50% of the time, you're working for the Pharaoh. Because you're back in the bondage of Egypt. But it's worse with you because it's not just 20%. So anyway, that's why you owe taxes, not because you use Federal Reserve notes. The reason you don't own your land, that's because you use Federal Reserve notes. And because you signed up for the system of Corbin. We don't call it Corbin anymore. We don't call it the Corbin of the Pharisees anymore. We call it Social Security. You see, that when you sign up for Social Security, which is a voluntary act, I mean, it's voluntary for your parents, most of you were sold by your parents to the government in order to obtain benefits. They said, well, you have to pay in all these taxes, unless, of course, you want to sell us your children, in which case we will deduct the amount that you owe. We'll let you take money off that if you want to sell us your children. We're not going to let you take money off for nothing. You got to sell us your children, the labor of your children. Now, you go back in Roman law, and you can read all this in our article on Call No Man Father, which Jesus said, Call No Man on Earth Father. And he actually used the word patri or patronus. He said, Call No Man on Earth Father. Patri. And that's a Latin word, even though in the Greek text you see the word patri. It's also a Greek word. So they knew what they were talking about. The Roman emperors and all the senators were addressed as father, patri. The Roman emperor was called patronus, our father. So if you were going to pray to our father who art in Rome to get his benefits, even though you knew he exercised authority in order to obtain them, our father FDR, you know, then you were not praying like Christ said to pray. And you were not going to his church. You're going to FDR's church. And your ministers, the ministers of FDR, and they collected the contributions of the people by force. John the Baptist didn't do that. He was operating by charity, and the early church was operating by charity. And when Rome was going bankrupt because they had imposed universal health care, they outlawed foreign religions, and Christianity was a foreign religion because it was not a 501c3 incorporated church of the Roman Empire. And it operated, and they write, back in those days, they write, guys like Justin writes, that this is how we do it. He wrote the emperor and said, this is how we do it. We gather once a week, and those that have share with those that don't have enough. And we take care of our needy ourselves by faith, hope, and charity. That's what he was telling the emperor. The emperor did it by force. And modern Christians do it by force. Oh, yeah, they give charity. I mean, they go, and this was something that came up in this whole Facebook conversation. They said, well, they know lots of churches that, you know, help the poor and the needy and all this stuff. But most all the people in those churches are on social welfare. I mean, they send their kids to public school. Their parents are taken care of by social security. If you're crippled or disabled, that's taken care of by the government. What the church does is just token stuff, you know, so that they feel good. you know, that they, so they can say, yeah, we're charitable. We sent $50 to Africa. Now, I know these two people, at least, I know them both really well, but I know one of them is unbelievably charitable, and I won't go into the details because you might figure out who they are. But they are really very giving. But they just don't know the whole gospel yet. And I blame that on their pastor, who is really a great guy. But he isn't reading my books. He needs to. And he needs to get all that seminary training out of his head, because he's not preaching the whole gospel. And you're running out of time. You're going to have to start really doing what Christ said and saying what Christ said to say. And you're going to have to start rebuking people that aren't doing it. And say, you know, we need to do this. We need to go this way. We need to repent so that we can really be the church established by Jesus Christ. And not just saying we're the church established by Jesus Christ. Because that's really important. Because Christ, you know, if Christ comes and you're still not doing it, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You know, you got to make the straight way. You know, I go on to say we should pay all our taxes we owe, even when we are paid cash for something we sell. See, like if you were to sell something for, say, $900, and then you told the person that you didn't want a check, you wanted to get paid in cash for that thing so that you didn't have to report it, you're sinning against God and Caesar, because you owe the tax. You have to pay the tax. And I always say that. You have to pay the tax. I'm not against paying taxes. I don't tell anybody not to pay the taxes they owe. What I say is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, there are people who don't owe as much tax, like Jesus didn't owe the tax, because he had no agreement. He was idiotus, what they call idiotus. He was unregistered. They were going to register him, but they had to leave town quick because the men were out to kill him. And so he didn't get registered. He actually left the country for a while. And he never got registered. Yeah, that's right. He never got registered. And that was important that he never got registered, because that made he had no agreement with the unbelievers. And his parents were helped out by, you know, kings and what have you, so that they didn't have to depend upon that social welfare system. And he was free. And actually, he was rich, too, but he gave all that away so that he could be a minister baptized by John the Baptist, who was a minister of the temple, who had left the temple because it was so corrupt, and went out into the desert and was baptizing people at the laver of the Jordan River instead of the laver of the temple, because if you got baptized there, you would be registered with the scribes, and he wasn't doing that. He was operating by charity. So when you got baptized his baptism, you had to take care of one another. And eventually we see in John, and I go through this in the Facebook, we see in John where those parents of the blind man say that, you know, they didn't want to profess Jesus because they knew that anybody who professed Jesus would be cast out of the synagogue. The synagogues were tied to the temple, and the temple was a government building, and the temple had the treasury of Corban. I mean, the word Corban is translated Corban. It's not really translated. It's kind of an alliteration. They just put the word Corban there instead of translating it like they do with the word Eucharist. And so you don't always know what it means, but it means sacrifice. But your sacrifices went into a treasury, a depository, and that depository paid for the social welfare of the people, which was distributed through the synagogues, which were also government synagogues. See, it's not like today. Well, actually, it is like today, but your synagogue today is the welfare office. You know, the churches are just to make you feel good about going down and praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. So anyway, in talking about all this, Bob says, I see we are going to deviate from the topic, and of course we never did. We're talking about sin, and that's the topic. Point being, we are all sinners. We are all in the same boat. Well, nice metaphor, and you could put it that way, certainly. But I point out, no. There are two boats. We are all sinners, and one of those boats is for the repentant sinners, and the other one is for the unrepentant sinners. Okay. The repentant sinners are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The unrepentant sinners are still praying to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Now, they may both be calling themselves Christians, but one is going to be told, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." So we are all in a sea of sin. We are all sinners, but we are not all repentant sinners. And so therefore, we are not all in the boat with Christ. And you ministers, you're going to need to learn how to walk on water. You can't stay in the boat all the time. But, and of course, you can take these metaphors too far. This division appears by, according to Christ's words, to have to do with the way in which we take care of the needy of society. Because that's what he goes through, you know, that you fed the hungry and you visited me when I was in prison and all this. And he said, "When did we do this?" And he says, "When you did it to the least of my brother, and you do it also to me." And so when we take care of one another, we're not talking about helping every drug addict on the street corner. That's not charity. The chances are you're actually weakening him by giving him charity. He needs to get sobered up and get straight. You shouldn't even have anything to do with him, probably. You know, it's a case-by-case basis, so you have to figure that out. Pure religion is taking care of the needy by charity alone, rather than by forcing contributions from your neighbor to provide social welfare, as is the policy of those who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. I mean, that's the way the government works. That's the way FDR wanted to do it. Before that, we didn't do it that way. In most cases, we did have public schools, but even back then, before FDR, most of the public schools were supported by private donations as well as government. It was a spotting of our faith when we started depending on taxes. And I can take you back to the late 1800s and mid 1800s, where congressmen like Davy Crockett is explaining this, that we're not to be doing that. That's not charity. When the government takes it over, it's no longer charity. And a nation that doesn't live by charity and the perfect law of liberty will go into bondage and slavery and despotism. And so, you guys think, "Oh, we're going to go out and vote a different guy into office, and then everything will be hunky-dory." Forget about that. That's goofy. That's crazy. That's insane. You keep doing it over and over again, and how's that working out for you? That's not going to change anything. You have to change. This is why I say history repeats itself. You have a choice. This is why I say all roads lead to Rome, but all roads lead to the kingdom of heaven. You just got to pick your direction. This is your choice. You got to say, "Well, I'm going to go to the pig mire because they really got great benefits there. They got a special on corn cobs this week." Or I'm going to turn around and go back to my father's house and be a servant there and help provide for the needy of my society, my father's society, by faith, hope, and charity. This is your choice. You can do it by covet means, or you can do it by love. Now, it's your choice. And that choice will determine where you are in history. That will take care of your future. But it's done in the presence. You have to actually be a doer of the word in the present of your life. This is why we created the network, the Living Network, so that you can meet other souls that are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and start taking care of one another. You can't really do that on an email group. I mean, what are you doing? Sending pictures of food back and forth to each other? You know, I mean, we always tease my wife about her Facebook, because, you know, she has it open and she's going down and, you know, she's keeping in contact with all her friends and relatives and everything, and it is full of food recipes. We say, we get fat just looking at her Facebook, because they do a lot of that. And that's fine. But we can't have an email church. A church has to have living congregations and ministers who are living stones of Christ, who are actually preaching Christ and doing what Christ said and doing what the early church was clearly doing. And figure you will be persecuted, but at least you'll be persecuted for righteousness. And see, if the churches were doing what Christ said, there would be no health care. If all the people that were claiming to be Christians, there would be no compulsory health care because health care would already be managed in the church. And, you know, believe it or not, the Amish have been doing this for a long time. And they're exempt from this new system. But it's because they've been doing it for a long time and they can prove they've been doing it. Your modern Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Messianic Jew, they're not doing it. They haven't been doing it. Oh, some of them haven't Feast of Tabernacles, but they don't even know why the Feast of Tabernacles was there. They're not doing it. So therefore, they're not exempt. And they need to repent. Because the church has been around for 2,000 years. We precedented this in. And the church is exempt. But you got to start doing it. You got to start following Christ. You got to start doing the word. You won't do it enough, but if you're not going to leave the pig mire of the false prophet, hey, you're going to still stink like a pig. And God's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So anyway, we'll talk more about how to do that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Yeah, one of the things that was in the original Steve post was that God's grace extends to all. And, of course, God's grace does extend to all, but all cannot receive it. Because unless you repent and turn around, you don't get it. Unless you forgive, neither are you forgiven. So extending doesn't mean you receive it. And people say, well, all you have to do is believe. Well, you actually have to believe in what Christ said. And then Bob writes in here, no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, and no matter what you were doing while you were there. And that's evident. He has that in quotes. I don't know where he's getting that. God will save you if you trust in the finished work of Christ for your salvation. There are no big sins in the dispensation of grace. They're all sins. Okay, I don't have it all here what he said, but when he's saying no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, these are all past tense. It does not apply to no matter what you are doing or want to continue doing. If you trust in the finished work of Christ, or say you trust in the finished work of Christ for your salvation, you're not saved. If you're still doing what he said not to do, you don't really trust in the finished work of Christ. You don't even trust in Christ. You don't even know Christ. You're not even paying attention to what Christ said. You're just doing your own thing, saying you're saved. And this is why he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And how many times did Christ say something to the effect that not those who say they trust in the finished work of Christ, but those who actually trust in Christ? Again, Christ warned us that we may be deceived, into thinking that they knew Christ. I was just seeing here, I got a typo in here. I'm typing with a broken thumb. You got to give me a break here, and I can't read half my keys, and a lot of times letters don't show up like K and F. But anyway, so you're going to find those typos in there. But Christ, we have to actually trust in the real Christ. We can't make up Christ in our mind and then worship that image of Christ that we've made in our mind. It has to be the real Christ. And you know it's the real Christ when you start seeing Christ manifested in what a man does. If you see the man still going out and lusting and coveting and murdering, but he says, hey, I believe in the finished work of Christ, he's not saved. He's a liar. He's lying to himself. He's lying to you. He's lying to God. He's lying to everybody. From such, stay away. And Paul tells you that. I mean, it's not rocket science. But anyway, I go on to say, Christ clearly judged those he brought in to the kingdom and those he told to depart based on the nature of what they were doing. Over and over again, Jesus, John, James told us that we will know them by their fruits, by what they're doing, as to whether or not they believe. Judge me by my faith or by my works. You know, judge my faith by my works. Why? Because faith is, that's another word they changed the definition. You have to go read our article on faith. That faith is probity. It is something that compels you to do righteousness. If you're not compelled to do righteousness, then you don't really have faith. You'll be wishy-washy. Well, I know I shouldn't, you know, commit adultery, but she's really cute, you know? And so therefore, probity, conviction, you're not going to do it. And when you do it, no, you lack faith. That's why you do it. It's because you don't really have faith. That's why you can't heal one another by touch or by your shadow. That's why you have to, you know, a lot of this healing that you see going on, like I said, this gyration healing that you see, where everybody's jumping around and shouting and getting everybody, the whole crowd worked up, and everybody's getting in a frenzy, you know. I mean, you can go down and watch this. It's voodoo. And who do voodoo? These churches do voodoo. And what they're actually doing is robbing the energy out of those people who get all excited and using it to heal the other people. It's not God who's healing them. It's this emotional energy that, and these are vampires who do this. They're sucking the life out of the crowd and then using that to heal some. And you'll find that a lot of the people that go to those deals, they'll just sleep like a log that night. They'll be absolutely exhausted. They won't get up on time. They'll be totally drained. Well, guess what, folks? They were drained. Psychic vampires sucking the life out of them. And that's why we have these movies now. It's because psychic vampires are real. Spiritual vampires are real. They're stealing the life from the weak and giving it to others. Problem is that this will eventually lead to more and more cancers along with all the other things that you're doing. But real healing is very peaceful. And nobody has to jump around and gyrate and get all excited. And it's just faith. You're not doing it. You're not making everybody else in the crowd do it. It's just happening. If it's not happening to you, well, hey, maybe you're not following the gospel of the kingdom of God. What does it say in Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said that. He didn't say, not every Jew. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of... So you got to be doing the will of the Father. You got to be heading back. You got to be that prodigal son. Or Matthew 7:24. He goes on to say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. He's talking about doing again. What does Jesus think? We're saved by works? Is he crazy? No, he's telling you how it works. How it works. You have to repent and start trying to do it. You know, that's the whole story again of the prodigal son. He didn't get back to his father's house and work for 6 months, and then his father forgave him. He forgave him because he repented, turned around, walked away from the corn cobs and the pig mire, and said, hey, you know, I had it better off with the Lord, my father. I'm going to go back and be my father's servant. He didn't say, I'm going to go back and hit my father up for another inheritance and then go off and do the same thing again. So everyone that heareth these sayings and doeth them. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Whoa. But I thought all those sinners were forgiven. Here's not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, conditions, him he heareth. None of this is saying we are saved by works. But if we are doing contrary to Christ, contrary to the will of God, and we're doing it by policy, such as coveting our neighbor's goods, sitting and eating with a ruler with a big appetite for benefits, being slothful in the way, not keeping his commandments, then we're not saved. And even though he died for us, died for the forgiveness of our sins, we're not the our sins group that gets forgiven. We're the group that are told to depart from me, workers of iniquity. These are the prodigal sons who never left the pig mire, never tried to get their way back to serving their father, never repented. They're out. Sorry, you're out. You don't get to come in. You're not accepting the kingdom. But we say we're Christians. We say we believe in the finished work of Christ. We should be led into the kingdom. Knock, 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 you foolish virgins. He's not going to open the door to you. This is your time to repent. Start gathering together with the purposes of Christ and the will of God in your heart. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Commandment of Christ. Christ says, keep my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. On and on. Be doers of the word. On and on. But we got these do-nothing preachers who are going around saying, oh, you don't have to do anything. Just believe in me. Oh, geez, I really love that kind of gospel. Here's $100. Tell me more about how I'm already saved and I don't have to do anything. And then you catch your pastor out there fornicating and committing adultery and you wonder why your country's going to hell in a handbasket. It's a hell of a thing that we're doing. That's right. It's a hell of a thing that we're doing. Because we're doing what hell wants you to do, which is nothing that Christ tells you he wants you to do. And that means you're going to hell in a handbasket. And you are smearing dung on the gospel. And you shouldn't be doing that. And your pastors that are doing it, that have become brute beasts and have delivered you into bondage by preaching you half a gospel, there's a hot place in hell for them. You know, that's the prophets of the beast. You see? Now, I mentioned Social Security earlier. You know, you say, well, you have to get a Social Security number. Well, you don't have to. It's a voluntary thing. But you almost have to have it to live. Because they passed a law that you got to have it to get a contractor's license, a marriage license, a driver's license, to get any kind of license whatsoever, you got to have a Social Security number. They passed that law. It's Title 42, Section 666. I'm not kidding you. Go look it up. Title 42, Section 666. You got to have the number. You got to have it in your head, memorize it. Or you got to have the card in your hand. And if you don't have that number, you can't buy or sell in their world. You know, you can still get around. They hardly let you get a bank account. Now, actually, there's still a place for the church in this. But this is, you've gotten to this point because for the last 100 years plus, you haven't been doing what Christ said to do. You haven't been doing the will of the Father. Now, it's time to repent and start doing the righteousness. You still have to pay your taxes. But you're going to have to start gleaning in the field at night for your benefits. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's telling you. But if you're going to keep coveting your neighbor's goods and praying to men who call themselves benefactors and making these men the fathers of your life, the sugar daddies of your life, then he's not going to hear your prayers. And you're not going to have the protection of his love, and you're not going to receive his grace, even though he died in hopes that you might repent and be saved. But you got to repent. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments of not coveting, of actually actively taking care of one another. 1 John 5:3, next verse down. For this is the love of God, that we keep the commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is 1 John. This is an epistle. This is after the resurrection. What is, doesn't John know that we're not saved by works? Yes, he knows we're not saved by works. But he also knows that we have to repent and seek to do the will of God. And we have to understand that coveting our neighbor's goods is breaking the commandments. And desiring benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other and take away from our neighbor is not love, and it's disobeying Christ's words. And so, you're still going to need help. How are you going to get it? If you can't go to them because the churches aren't doing it, well, they aren't the church. They're the modern church. You want the real church? You got to come together, not with the intention of getting benefits. Come with the intention of being the benefactors who do not exercise authority. Come with the intention of being the prodigal son to serve in your Father's house. And then God will bless you. with His love and His benefits. Because you're going to need that. Because you've gotten so far away, you're going to need miracles galore. I mean, you have wasted away your time. But the door is not yet closed yet either. You have time to repent. But I wouldn't waste any of that time if I were you. I would turn around right now and get busy. Remember the ant, O sluggard. Get busy. Come together. Form congregations of record, connected with other congregations of record, so that you become that network. That's why they had the Feast of Tabernacles, is to shore up those connections. How do we do that? By guys going around and policing, oh, your congregation hasn't given enough to the church lately, so, you know, we're gonna ostracize you. No, the connections are based on love. And that love is families coming together and uniting with other families and other congregations and daughters and sons and cousins being in different congregations, and so that we become a peculiar people bound together by love, not by contract. But anyway, Bob comes back a number of times and quotes Paul, Romans, Corinthians. He's always quoting Paul. Well, time after time after time, I quote Jesus, and he quotes Paul. They shouldn't have that distinction all the time. I can quote Paul too. But I know Paul. There aren't two gospels. Paul preached the gospel of Christ. And he was preaching to Christians who are not trusting in the Corban of the Pharisees or the Corban of Rome, the social welfare that was run by men who exercise authority. Paul was preaching to Romans and Christians and Greeks who had returned to the perfect law of liberty and were taking care of one another. When they visited the poor, it was to take care of the poor. They came with sacks of food. They came with bandage. They came with healing. They were prodigal sons who came back to serve in their father's house. This is who he's talking to. Well, I can quote from the epistles too. You know, I mean, you have to want to leave the pig mire, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. But if it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit and the pig to his mire. What is that? That's where we're at. There's just not two gospels. There's one gospel. Paul preached it. John preached it. Peter preached it. Christ preached it. Tell you the truth, Moses preached it. He spoke to the rock. He wasn't to use force to get the flow of contributions of the people. That's where your church is where you take care. That's where your religion is, where you take care of the needy of your society. And if you do it with the religion of force, then you're not doing it with the religion of Christ. But a Christian is a follower of Christ. A true Christian is a follower of Christ. A modern Christian is following his own philosophies and private interpretation, is not doing what Christ said. And this is what I'm pointing out. I'm talking about sin. I'm staying on topic. Someone who is a follower of Christ, loves his ways, and rejects the ways of the unbelievers. The modern Christian, what Christians want to believe, boy, I see more typos, want to believe they trust in Christ, but they actually worship the image of Christ they created in their own minds. This is why 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous." Yeah, covetous. Boasting that they're Christians and that they believe in the finished work of Christ. Proud of their faith in the image that they have created. But blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. And they'll find children who are disobedient in that. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. They will think that it's okay to take from your neighbor, send men to your neighbor's house to force their contribution. They'll think it's okay to run their neighbor's children and their children into debt as long as they get the benefits that they paid in for other people, because they trust in the men who exercise authority to provide those benefits. And they shouldn't be doing that. They should be building their foundation on the rock of faith. They shouldn't be false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good and that are trying to do this by faith, hope, and charity. They should not be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What power? The power to take care of the needy of your society with faith, hope, and charity. We have that power if we will seek it. This is the power of Christ. He showed you he could feed thousands if you have faith. You say, well, the church can't handle that. It would bankrupt us overnight. You're already bankrupt spiritually. For this is the sort are they which creep into houses and lead into captivity, silly women and men, laden with the covetousness of benefits, lusting after those benefits, ever learning, studying the Bible, 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 and never able to come to the knowledge of the simple truth that unless you're living by love, you're not living according to the ways of Christ. If you're still living by force, you have gone the ways of Balaam and the ways of Bozer and have forsaken the right ways, as it says in 2 Peter 2:15. The right way is by charity, not by force. What was the ways of Balaam? They loved the wages, the benefits of unrighteousness. What is unrighteous? Forcing the contributions of the people. That's unrighteous. Always has been, always will be, hasn't changed. Christ doesn't say it's okay now. I forgave you all those sins and I forgive you all the sins that you're about to commit. No, you have to repent. Again, the early church took care of all the social welfare of the people, even in America. That's what we did in America 200 years ago. We were doing that. All the social welfare of the people. There was no socialism in early America because they realized if we go socialist, we will starve. They learned that early on. Now, there were people that came along and wanted to do this. They even had some public schools early on in Massachusetts. But even those public schools were mostly supported by free will offerings. But it was no longer unspotted by the world. That word world means constitutional order or system of government. You're not supposed to be taking care of one another through that means. And you can see how far we've gone away from that. We've got a long ways to go back. So we have our repentance cut out for us. And the work is cut out for us too. But it's the way of God. Life is work. Work is life. I know at least one of these people understand that. They're workers. And we should work. Slothful should be under tribute. We should work. But work at what? Work at following Christ. Living the ways of Christ. Walking in the ways of Christ. This is where we're supposed to be. And the modern Christian, which is again a euphemism for those who say they believe but don't really believe, have a chance to repent if someone would tell them the truth and live by the perfect law of liberty and the love of Christ. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.